Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Mattis Jagger, the CEO of Olympic Entertainment Group, on the impressive growth of his company in Central and Eastern Europe. Olympic Entertainment Group is the largest casino operator in Eastern and Central Europe, with casinos in eight different countries: Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Slovakia, Belarus, Italy, and most recently Malta. Mattis Jagger has his hands full. As CEO of the group, Jagger concentrates on customer service to elevate his companies above his competitors. He admits non-gaming revenues aren't the focus, but understands things like bars, restaurants, entertainment, and in some cases hotels, can really make a difference. He spoke with me at the ICE Trade Show in London last month. Mattis Jagger, thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. We're here in London for the ICE show. It's good to see you again. Last time we talked was at G2E a couple of years ago, and the company was growing then, but the growth that's happened since then is pretty amazing. Why don't you start with giving us a little outline of what Olympic Entertainment Group is all about, and then the new things that are
No, the Olympic Entertainment Group is I would say the largest operator of casinos in the Eastern and Central Europe. Mm-hmm. So right now we're operating in eight different countries, which is the Baltics, the small countries still, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. Mm-hmm. Then it's the Poland. It's Slovakia. There is a small operations in Belarus, mm-hmm. where we have Italy, and recently, 5 weeks ago, we opened the largest and biggest casino in Malta, which is, in terms of our size, what we are operating, really the largest, mm-hmm. Whatever floor area or the equipment wise. Mm-hmm. But it's really the crown jewel or the most attracting point in Malta as well, mm-hmm. which is located in a super center of entertainment in the Intercontinental.
Mm-hmm. That's hotel. A beautiful hotel there.
It is the beautiful, it's the largest one, actually just across the corner. It's the most busy center for the nightlife, mm-hmm. entertainment thing, so the natural flow of people and the crowd is there. And of course from the service point of view, yeah, maybe I'm too arrogant to say this, but you cannot really compare to the competitors.
Yes, so. Yeah. Well, they've been in the market for quite some time, so you're the new kid on the block, you have to try harder, I guess.
No, yes, once we were visiting and doing some competitor checks there, of course we know what our things are, where we are performing much better. Mm-hmm. It's still about the service and provision of the games, loyalty programs, mm-hmm. Something more. It's not only about pure gambling.
Okay. Do you have one casino that you kind of consider your cornerstone casino in any of those countries you mentioned?
No, it's still, I would say, in Riga. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Voodoo Casino, which is the flagship one, so far has been the largest one.
Okay.
The Malta is now the bigger. But it is really the attraction point of all of the Latvian market.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I believe that we have extended and enlarged the casino from time to time, and it is becoming like a hub or coming like a site where people are just coming to see what is happening there. They even do not come to gamble. It's more like a... It's more like a type of Las Vegas thing.
Mm, okay.
People just come to see that, yes, they can gamble, you can have a restaurant, mm-hmm. there is a very nice bar inside it. So I would say, the best what illustrates the proper Olympic casino is in Latvia.
Now, you are planning to open another casino in Tallinn, correct?
It's correct, yeah. We are building right now a Hilton, mm-hmm. hotel.
Right.
Which is the first Hilton in the Baltics.
Okay.
Opening this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, we are putting there it's a flagship casino, which, mm-hmm. which means that we are moving the majority of the business from there right now, from the existing flagship casino to there,
mm-hmm.
which will be triple of the size and some very new things as well, with what we have not introduced before into the casino market. So it's not only about the gambling, it's not about bars or some entertainment, but some new features, some new elements what will be hopefully positively accepted by the customers.
Is this kind of new for you? You're kind of building from the ground up rather than...
Yeah.
You know, in Malta, you still installed a casino in an existing hotel.
So far, our model, how we do the casinos are, we are renting or we are tenants in the, in the premises which belongs to somebody else.
Right.
This forces you to some sort of framework, or there are always some restrictions about the floor layout, what is the entrance to the street, what is the entrance to the hotel, or whatever. So with this Hilton project, we are, I'm not saying that we are building a hotel around the casino.
Right. Yes.
but
you're building it in conjunction.
But it is like integrated, like a product of really finding the proper, the base layout, the best... connections to the conference room where we can host the big poker tournaments, to the lobby or to whatever. So the whole product will be more or less like a small destination thing, which will attract tourists from Russia, where the casinos are not allowed. Of course, some say that the illegal casinos exist there, but I think for them as well to play in the proper legal casino is much more, let's say, safe. and it's angled to the Scandinavian side as well. Is it Finland or Sweden or Norway? It is becoming more like a small destination thing. And then when the word is going from mouth to mouth, so I believe that it will have a great future.
Okay. And you hired my friend Heike to be general manager. Great choice there. One of the most knowledgeable guys in that part of the world.
This is true. Yeah, Heikki has been in with the company for not for a while, but since the beginning of this year. So we are educating him. Of course, he has lots of experience in the casino industry. But it's more about training to some of our routines and processes and behavioral things and what we are really. Let's say, what are our wildy or the most important goals, how we serve the customers or all about the standards.
Sure.
Of course, we listen carefully to him as well, because he has a very extensive knowledge about things. But I think it's the message what we would like to give to the whole market is that we have really the new product.
Sure.
The product, the equipment, service, as well as the new manager.
Okay.
So this is the message for the current and future customers.
Great. Now we're here in the Hippodrome Casino in London, and a beautiful building, an old theater that had a casino kind of built into it. But it just as an American, it's always like, oh, it reminds you how different gaming is in Europe than it is in the U.S. But how different are your operations in Central and Eastern Europe than from the British casinos?
We need to leave it to find what is the casino. So when we compare the Hippodrome the flagships are pretty much similar as we operate.
Okay.
Then when we're just looking at the arcades, which are not really treated as a casinos here in Britain.
Even though they still are gambling.
Yes, so in our jurisdiction or in our countries, they are called and perceived as well as a casino because of they are built in a way like casino.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the interior wise, the slot machines or the tables are as casino slot machines, which means that no real limits about the maximum or maximum winnings, and all the service to the customers is as well as a casino type.
Okay.
So they are just the smaller locations. Of course, there are for these type of like hippodrome. I believe there are lots of tourists that are coming in, the same as our flagship casinos.
Right.
So those smaller places are for more like locals. So I think the European casinos are more or less pretty much the same as as all over the country, so, but nothing really comparable to Las Vegas or Macau or those big things.
Do you have limitations on the number of slot machines you can have in each country, or?
Yeah, it varies much. So in many countries, actually, we have limitations of the minimums.
Sure.
Which you cannot have like 20, 30 slot machines.
Mm-hmm.
In some of the countries, we have the mandatory table numbers, what
right.
we need to really operate, not mm-hmm. just only to have the table.
Sure.
In Poland, there is a maximum set, which is 70 slot machines, for
okay.
example. You can have unlimited number of tables. So in every country, there are some small details which are different,
mm-hmm.
which makes, on one hand, difficult to manage or to make sure that you comply with all of the regulations, but
sure.
at the same time it gives a super good experience as well. So I'm not really hesitating of saying that I know relatively a lot of different regulations
sure.
in
and then the tax rates are different in each country
it is,
as well.
It is, yeah.
So that kind of limits what you can do, I would imagine.
Yeah, you mentioned about the number of slot machines.
Mm-hmm.
The number of slot machines are in many cases driven by the tax tax rate as well. In for example, in Slovakia, we pay fixed tax per year,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't really matter if I operate it only 2 months or 12 months.
Right.
It's a fixed tax per
mm-hmm.
per fiscal year. And the more machines you are putting on the floor, the higher is your fixed cost.
Mm-hmm.
So it's optimization whether you want to take this fixed cost and say hope for
right.
the revenues, or you decrease the number of devices saving the fixed cost, and then it's finding really the good balance of the profitability. On the other hand. Yeah, there are always discussion about whether it's a GGR-based tax or
mm-hmm.
the fixed, like a unit-based taxation. So from the government side, controlling, when you
sure.
do not have the centralized monitoring system, then it's easier to count the machines.
Right.
That's it. So
right.
collect the taxes and
okay.
find the revenue-based taxes is more like dependent on the revenues as well, which
sure.
which in nowadays the
sliding
yeah,
scale.
Yeah, it's not sliding scale.
Yeah.
It's still like a fixed percentage,
okay, yeah.
like Poland has a 50,
mm-hmm.
which is, of course, when we compare to the Denmark, it's
right.
not that high, but
right.
it is still high.
Well, we have states in the U.S. that have rates that high as well, and states that have it even higher, so
mm-hmm.
I guess you're kind of used to that kind of thing. So
yeah.
how about the number of licenses in each jurisdiction? Is that limited? Or
yeah.
is there competition wide?
Each country is different. So when we're talking about our presence in all of the countries, actually it's quite accessible for the newcomers to
mm-hmm.
have the license. This is as well like a business case of really how you enter into the market of
mm-hmm.
And fighting with the competition. And in many, we have seen many cases where there are newcomers into the market,
mm-hmm.
but they are not surviving.
Sure.
In Poland, there are limited licenses, so
mm-hmm.
It's not really, you can have, it's always like two levels. In different countries, the definition is different, like
mm-hmm.
you have a concession and you have a license.
Right.
Concession means like a company-wide or permit
mm-hmm.
to kind of provide the services, but you need the separate license for the particular address.
Okay.
Is it a license or permit? So basically there are always like two different layers of
mm-hmm.
these permits. And with the first level, like a company-wide, if you are not a criminal, if you
right.
feel the regulation, I think it's relatively easy to
mm-hmm.
to obtain one. Then it's the question of having the permit for particular address,
right.
which is restricted in Poland. In some other countries as well, by the area, by
mm-hmm.
the city, or but at the end of the day, it's quite free market.
Okay.
And then for me, it's fine. We,
sure.
we have proved to be successful in terms of competition. In
mm-hmm.
Actually, we are having experience in 10 countries. So we were having operations in Ukraine and Romania as well. We don't have the operations today. So competition is only a good thing. Yeah. So it improves the quality of the service and then offers better product to the customers. So I'm not afraid of competition.
Well, it sounds like there's different regulations and tax rates in each country, but I think the one consistent thing that you bring to the table is the customer service, the level of customer service.
This is, when I am explaining to all of my people as well that everybody has the access to the gaming devices.
Right.
You can buy slot machines, table games, you can hire dealers. Mm-hmm. So to compete there with something unique thing is let's say not sustainable. Mm-hmm. Of course, your budget, capex budget, is putting some restrictions, but but there are always people who are able to have some credits or talk or negotiate for financing of the proper casino. Of course, everybody can set their casino mathematics or house edge, minimum bets or whatever. So, but the hardest thing to copy is about the service. Mm-hmm. So this includes the people, it includes really the attitude and the training, and this takes time. So I think, not I think this, I definitely believe that this is really the core or the key value of the Olympic itself, as we can leverage all of those experience and things throughout all of the countries.
Okay. So, you were speaking in the last session about millennials, and then we got into a little non-gaming discussion. How important is non-gaming revenue to Olympic?
I made a statement there as well that it's not really important.
Right. So, that's why I asked that question.
Yeah. So when we're looking at the millennials, it's coming more and more to influence our businesses. That right now we are not even competing that much against the other competitors, casinos, but it's becoming more about competing against how the millennials or the people are spending their time. Mm-hmm. So they have different options to go to the. Paul Steelman was saying in some article that you should have a nightclub in the casino.
Right.
I'm not really believing this at least in our countries, mm-hmm. because the nightclubs thing is a little bit over.
Yeah.
So it's more about smaller lounges, some fine dine, small things which are not maybe too expensive, but still people are moving with the smaller groups and they are doing the things together. So it's really about competing with others. Alternatives of entertainment. If somebody's going to launch or some whatever, watch some sports event whatsoever. So it's more about this. And for us as a casino operator, of course, we want to provide as well the variety of services, like together with Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the focus and our where we are really good is still casinos.
Right.
So all of the rest is more about supporting the casinos.
Right.
And we have analyzed and experienced from others that all of organizing the shows and restaurants and everything.
Right.
Yes, they drive the people, but they drive different people too, which in many cases they are not the ones who really like to play.
Sure,
and there is always some sort of small conflict in the marketing in the marketing department as well, because they are saying that yes, let's bring hundreds or thousands of new faces into the casino, so there is one who will remain as a VIP.
Right.
And it's really hard to actually argue against this as well, because from time to time it has happened.
Right.
But to do constantly some parties or some events where thousands of people are coming in, this is becoming very expensive.
Right.
So, yes, we need to target wide audience, but we need to kind of do it much smarter way of, let's say, targeting or shooting the right people, so that at the end of the day, for me, the casinos are the ones which are the core profit centers.
Right.
The non-gaming thing is more about attracting creating an atmosphere, these type of things. So from the profit wise, it's not really a driver from that. So is the answer yes or no? They are important of creating the atmosphere and let's say the access or the routes to the casino, but at the end of the day, the casino is our core competence and core business.
Okay, well, Mattis, thanks for the time. I appreciate it, and congratulations on all the growth of the company. I'm really looking forward to the Tallinn Casino. Maybe I'll get to one of them.
You will definitely get an invitation.
But I've heard so many good things about it, and I can't wait to do it. But thanks for the time.
All right. Thank you.
Listening to the GGB podcast sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading licensed affiliate marketing site delivering players to legal U.S. online casinos and poker rooms. If you want to hear more gaming podcasts, visit our website, GGBMagazine.com, for all the news of the casino industry and to access the Casino Talk podcast with Brooke Dunn. Until then, join us next week for the GGB podcast sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com.